First reading is taken from Paul's second letter to Timothy, chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. 2 Timothy 2, verse 1. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. Endure hardship with us like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. He wants to please his commanding officer. Similarly, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not receive the victor's crown unless he competes according to the rules. The hard-working farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. Reflect on what I am saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all this. This is the word of the Lord.
The reading this evening comes from Luke chapter 2, which can be found on page 1028 of the Church Bibles. Luke chapter 2. Beginning to read at verse 25. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory of your people Israel. The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own heart too. This is the word of the Lord.
Open our hearts to receive your word, enlighten our minds to understand it, and strengthen our wills to live by what you are saying to us through it. For Jesus' sake, amen. You may have noticed on the notice board earlier that the saint that we're looking at this evening in our series of Christian saints is Saint Teresa of Avila, not to be confused with Saint Therese of Lisieux, nor with our close contemporary, St. Teresa or Mother Teresa of Calcutta. What I plan to do this evening is some slightly different pattern to the usual sermon. I'd like to say something about the life of St. Teresa, and in the context of that life history, to comment on our two readings. And towards the end of the talk, I shall read two of her poems. Before my final prayer, there'll be an extended time of silence, when you can reflect on what the Holy Spirit may be saying to you personally through the readings and the poems. Saint Teresa, whose saint's day is the 15th of October, was born in Avila, a town 50 miles west of Madrid, in the year 1515. She was the daughter of a successful wool merchant and one of the richest men in Avila. Her father was very strict, her mother loving and tender. As a young child, Teresa would often retreat into silence for prayer, and she also enjoyed giving to the poor. When she was 11, her beloved mother died, and as she put it, I implored the Virgin Mary to become my mother from now on. When she was 16, her father sent her to a convent school, and while she was there, she decided to become a nun. And so at the age of 20, she entered a Carmelite convent. Here, she found the worldliness of the convent disturbing, in particular, the obsequiousness to those of wealth and influence. The frequent visits of important personages disturbed the rhythm of prayer and inhibited times for quiet reflection. Teresa endured this for many years, but when in her 40s, she resolved to found a new order, recommitted to the values of poverty and simplicity. Meanwhile, however, she suffered several life-threatening bouts of malaria. It was while recovering from one of these that she began to experience visions, ecstasies which caused suspicion and brought her before the Spanish Inquisition. Being naturally an outgoing and friendly person who was endeared to many, she found this mistreatment so unbearable that at one point she complained to God about it. She felt God was saying to her, "That's how I always treat my friends." In one of her famous quotations, she replied, "If that's how you treat your friends, no wonder you have so few of them." This brings us to our first reading. If you'd like to follow it in your Bibles, you can find it on page 1195, 1195, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verses 1 to 7. In verse 2, Paul urges Timothy to ensure that the gospel message gets faithfully passed down the generations. "The things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others." Can we pray for those among us who are working with young people? St. Teresa sought to pass the gospel on by founding a new order. And some of our young people's groups are really short of leaders. So can we ask God if we are called to join them? Paul goes on to warn Timothy that any work for Christ will, as St. Teresa found, bring opposition, and he encourages him to endure. Endure hardship with us like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Our whole nation is facing opposition to clear Christian teaching and living at this time, and we may be well facing hardship of one kind or another. So let's listen to Paul's advice. First, looking back to verse 1, he tells Timothy he won't find strength in himself, but in the grace or undeserved blessing he has received from Christ Jesus. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Are we looking to our own strength to see us through our difficulties, or are we trusting in the grace that's in Christ, seen supremely in his self-sacrifice on the cross, where he opened for us the way to an eternal relationship with God, our loving Father? It's always nice when someone preaching a sermon has the illustrations laid out for him, and in verses 4 to 6, Paul gives Timothy three illustrations: the soldier, the athlete, and the farmer. How do we cope with hardship? Well, the soldier doesn't get involved in civilian affairs. A better word here than involved is the King James Version, entangled. Yes, of course we should be involved in civilian affairs, but are we entangled? That's to say, is there anything we're involved in which gets in the way of our relationship with God or our work for him and needs to be cut back? Paul asks, are we pleasing our commanding officer? The athlete, says Paul, must obey the rules. One wonders whether in Paul's day they had similar problems to the ones we're having at the moment with doping in the Olympics. None of us is perfect. But here, we're looking at things, even things which may be good in themselves, but which make it more difficult to fulfill our calling from God. Then finally, the farmer, whose hard work enables him to lead a fruitful life. Are we being lazy or half-hearted in any part of our work for the Lord? So, let's seek to be single-minded like the soldier, honest and open like the athlete, and hardworking like the farmer, in our desire to see the gospel continuing to thrive in future generations. And let's pray for God's strength in so doing. Finally, Paul urges Timothy in verse 7 to reflect on these things. And as I mentioned, you'll have an opportunity to do this in a few minutes' time. Back to St. Teresa. In probably the best known of her visions, St. Teresa saw an angel bearing a long golden spear, which he thrust repeatedly into her heart. Peter, could you kindly put that image out? It is there on the screen already. Lovely. Thank you. As well as feeling intense pain, Teresa felt safe and at peace. The spear, she realized, was nothing other than the love of God. This perhaps relates to that quote of hers, "If this is the way you treat your friends, no wonder you have so few of them. This is the way God was showing his love." And the image you see on the screen is a realization of this vision by the 17th century Baroque Italian sculptor Giancarlo Bernini, and it stands in the Church of Santa Maria de Vittoria in Rome. You'll find our second reading on page 1028, Luke chapter 2, verses 25 to 35, page 1028. Here, Mary undergoes similar extremes of ecstasy and agony to St. Teresa in her vision. First, she has the thrill of learning from Simeon that this little boy to whom she's recently given birth is to be the salvation not just of Israel, but of the whole world. Then, a moment later, she hears that a sword is going to pierce her heart. How she must have agonized as she saw her son despised and rejected by men, and finally pierced and crushed as he hung helpless on the cross. And yet Mary would soon have learned that it was at this moment of his greatest weakness that the Lord won his greatest victory, that the one who was considered stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted, was in fact being pierced for our transgressions and crushed for our iniquities, that the punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. Could Mary, like Teresa, have come to see that the events which caused her so much hurt were in fact the deepest expression of the love of God? And can we see the love of God in something which may be causing us deep hurt? Mary must have stored the sayings of Simeon in her heart, as we are told she did with the visit of the shepherds. Can we do the same with the promises of God, storing them in our heart and seeing his love shining through even our moments of deepest hurt? Needless to say, St. Teresa's aspiration to found a new order attracted significant local opposition, but she had the support of the Pope as well as of some local priests and was allowed to set up her first convent. She proved an influential leader and founder. In her first major work, The Way of Perfection, she guides her nuns through strict discipline, yes, but not through asceticism and self-denial, rather through the power of love and common sense. The important thing, she says, is not to think much, but to love much, and so to do that which best stirs you to love. Love is not great delight, but desire to please God in everything. St. Teresa devoted much of the rest of her life traveling around Spain, setting up new convents, 17 in all, and frequently contending with opposition, difficult living, and her frail health. In her latter years, she wrote an autobiography and a book of spiritual pilgrimage, The Interior Castle. She also wrote many poems. Two of the best known are Let Nothing Disturb You and Christ Has No Body But Yours, Let me read these to you now. Let nothing disturb you, nothing distress you, nothing affright you. All the world passes, God will abide. Patient endeavor accomplishes all things. Who God possesses needs naught beside. And her other poem, Christ Has No Body But Yours. Christ has no body now but yours, no hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes with which he looks with compassion on the world. Yours are the feet with which he walks to do good. Yours are the hands with which he blesses all the world. Yours are the hands, yours are the feet, yours are the eyes. You are his body. Christ has no body now on earth but yours. This evening we have a special privilege because we have in our midst a lovely lady who, as you all know, is Spanish. And I'd love you to hear that last poem as it was actually written in 16th century Spanish by St. Teresa of Avila. Yolanda, please come and read the poem to us. Thank you.
Un dicho de Santa Teresa de Ávila. Cristo no tiene cuerpo, sino el tuyo. No tiene manos o pies en la tierra, sino los tuyos. Tuyos son los ojos con los que ve la compasión en este mundo. Tuyos son los pies con los que camina para hacer el bien. Tuyas son las manos con las que bendice todo el mundo. Tuyas son las manos. Tuyos son los pies, tuyos son los ojos, eres tú su cuerpo. Cristo no tiene otro cuerpo en la tierra, sino el tuyo.
Thank you very much. And especially, as I suppose it probably isn't quite in modern Spanish, rather like our King James version and the works of Shakespeare aren't quite in the English we speak today. Thank you very much, Yolanda. That was a real privilege. St. Teresa died, age 67, on the 4th of October, 1582. By a remarkable coincidence, which would no doubt have amused her, this happened to be the very last day of the Julian calendar. The next day was not the 5th of October, but the 15th of October. You may remember at history in school learning about those missing 11 days. And so that is the day, the 15th of October, on which she is commemorated. She was declared a saint in 1622, and many today admire her writings and adhere to the way of her order of discalced Carmelites. Discalced, had to look it up in the dictionary myself, means unshod, a token to the values of poverty and simplicity on which her order was founded. The nuns of the discalced Carmelites go around on barefoot. We now come to a time of silence. As you can see, they've gone, but could you put them back again, Peter? The words of the poems and the readings remain on the screen. I hope you can read them. There's quite a lot of words there. But we'll have a time of silence for you to reflect on the poems and on the readings. And after this time, I'll say a closing prayer. night. Help us, Lord, to soak in your word, and may your Holy Spirit interpret it to us, show us how it builds up our lives. Help us to endure hardship as faithful soldiers in Christ Jesus, and help us to endure any spears of pain which may pierce our heart. Help us to see your love in them, we pray. Lord Jesus, be with us. Be with us this evening and in the days ahead. Keep us faithful to you, and may we be faithful too in ensuring that your word is passed on to the generations to come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you found this time insufficient, please do ask the stewards as you leave for copies of the poems and the scripture references you see on the screen for you to reflect on further at home. And if you'd like someone to pray with you over these or any matters, please remember that there is prayer ministry available at the back of the church over on that side at the end of the service. Thank you, and God bless you all.